Paddy's gearing up for the Guineas with this great horse racing offer. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if Aidan O'Brien trains the winner in the 2,000 and 1,000 Guineas at Newmarket this weekend. Max free bet £10. Excludes shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, it's good to have you along for the Racing Post Weekend Tipping Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me in our swanky new look studio is Paul Keighley. While over in Ireland, we've got David Jennings and Frank Hickey from Paddy Power. So, loads to get stuck into. Obviously, the first classics of the summer, the 1,000 Guineas and the 2,000 Guineas. We've got the Kentucky Derby, we've got loads of other good stuff, Goodwood, TV racing at Hamilton on Sunday, and there's also some decent group action in Ireland on Monday. We'll get stuck in though with the main event, the 3:35 at Newmarket on Saturday, the Kipco 2,000 Guineas. And Frank Hickey, take us through the prices. It's competitive.
Gustav Klimt is favourite at 5-2, Saxon Warrior 9-2, LR Cam 5-1 along with Massar, Expert Eye 9-1, Roaring Lion 12-1, James Garfield 16-1, and we're 25-1 bar.
And there's a little money back special, I believe.
Yeah, we're offering, if Aidan O'Brien trains the winner of 2,000 Guineas, you get a free bet back up to a tenner. So it's not too bad if you fancy something that's trained other than Aidan O'Brien.
Okay, DJ, we're going to start with you today. Who wins the 2,000 Guineas?
Very boring, Bruce, but I think Gustav Klimt wins it. I have no doubt whatsoever that Saxon Warrior will prove the best horse later in the season, but he's not a now horse. He's a later in the summer horse. Gustav Klimt, a couple of interesting things here. I interviewed Aidan O'Brien just before Cheltenham for an interview that came out just after Cheltenham. And we talked about all different things, Anna's injury, you know, loads of different things. But the one topic that he was so came alive for was the fact that the 2,000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown had been moved from a mile back down to 7 furlongs. He just thought this was the best idea that had ever been invented, that it was just a perfect stepping stone for the 2,000 Guineas at Newmarket. It was in the middle of April, it was 7 furlongs, and he just could not state enough how much that meant to him. And I said leaving that day, whatever he runs and possibly wins in that will win the Guineas. And I think it speaks volumes. All his horses are improving for a run. I think Gustav Klimt has looked the type that will improve hugely from his first run on heavy ground at Leopardstown. This guy wants fast ground. I think he's a more compact spring / early summer horse compared to Saxon Warrior, who I think will probably be very hard to beat in the Derby. And he's 5-2, but put it this way, if Ryan Moore was on Gustav Klimt and not Jamie Heffernan, I think he could be even shorter. I think he'd win. I don't think he will be the best horse in the race, but I think he will win.
Okay, you said you had a couple of interesting things to tell us about. Which are they?
That was the last okay. 7.5 minutes.
Righty-ho. Keels, who wins the Guineas?
I wouldn't surprise me if Gustav Klimt won, but I think it's a terrible price. I don't see what he's beaten. I mean, he won by a head or a neck from Nebo last year in the superlative. I know he found trouble in running, but he'd only won the length or so. Nebo's a 66-1 shot. That trial, the runner-up was rated 98. You know, it's only won a length and 3/4. It doesn't strike me as standout Guineas favourite form, to be honest. And, you know, he might well win. He might improve for better ground. But, you know, the one thing Aidan O'Brien's never done is run any of his Guineas winners in a trial. All eight went their first time out. The one with a better profile is Saxon Warrior. I mean, I gather he's a bit behind, so I'd be leaving him. I'm going to give one more chance to Expert Eye. I thought that was a perfectly reasonable return in the green, and when he was a drifter and everybody seemed to know that he wasn't fit and he was ridiculously keen. It might be that he turns out to be a sprinter. It could just be that. But, I mean, you know, I can't get out of my head the way he won the Vintage Stakes last year, and he was, you know, he was about 11-4 at one stage for the Guineas, wasn't he? And you know, if he does come back, then I think 9-1's a decent price. I don't think Massar will get the easy lead that he got last time. He might not have needed it. He won so well, but you know, for a bit of value, Expert Eye for me.
And who for Frank?
I wouldn't be overly gone on Gustav Klimt for the same reasons as Paul highlighted there. Like while he was hampered that day in the superlative stakes, like he did well to win. I don't think that's an unbelievable standard. And look, while the comments, it's funny how the comments about Saxon Warrior can be interpreted as some people in the office here think they're very negative. Me and a couple more colleagues then saw him as positive. I would be quite keen on him. I think what he did last year, he absolutely hacked up in his maiden and just left a lasting impression on you, and he won the Beresford very easily as well. And I think he showed great battling qualities to win the Racing Post Trophy. And while people have been knocking the form, it actually has been franked to a degree. Chilean won a Group 3 over in France, and Merlin Magic absolutely hacked up in the Esher Cup at Sandown last week, and that's normally a very strong handicap. So it wasn't a very bad renewal the way people are making it out. I think, I've no doubt he's the best horse in the race, and he will be come the end of the year. But I'm reading between the lines, and I'm thinking he could run a massive race. And I backed him last night. I was kind of kicking myself I didn't back him on Monday when I was looking at the race first. But I went in last night, and I think he'll run a huge race. Yeah, I'm pretty keen on him.
Lovely to have you back, Frank, by the way. Everyone's going on about this Nile stuff and, you know, this guy after his 33-1, but you're still the man for me. Well done, Frank.
Yeah, I couldn't find any 33-1 winners for tomorrow, so...
Really? We haven't got any later?
Not 33-1, no.
Is Nile in today? You couldn't just pop in, no? Never mind.
He's in today. It's funny, we're very different, like, as in, we normally clash a lot. We've got a completely different approach to pricing races, so it's funny.
Both work. Both recipes work. Okay, the 150 is the Spring Lodge Stakes, formerly the Suffolk Stakes. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power, Frank?
Sharjah Bridge, sorry, is 9-4. Another Clip 6-1. Oasis Charm 9-1. Tricorn 10-1, along with Dummerson and Third Time Lucky. Spark Plug and Barakor 12-1, and we're 14-1 bar.
So kill 16 runners, but a very hot favourite in Sharjah Bridge.
Yeah, it could be. You know, it's one of those. You wouldn't be at all surprised if he destroyed him. I mean, he's off a mark of 99, which is high enough on what he's actually done. But if you read the Roger Varian stable tour in the Racing Post, he said, if he's the horse I think he is, he'll be considerably higher by the end of the season. So he could go and win it. But this is only a starting point. He'd walk into any of the big handicaps off a mark of 99. And if they ruin it, then it's group races. But he hasn't got any group entries. I just wonder whether he'll be absolutely bang on for tomorrow. And I'm going to take him on with Third Time Lucky. He's a bit of a mercurial horse. He was really good a few years ago. He won the Cambridgeshire as a three-year-old off a mark of 95. He was fourth in the race the year later off a mark of 100. He's down to 93 now, having won a couple of decent races since. I just think this course, a mile one furlong in the big field, is right for him. He's drawn against the rail. I hope they let him roll along rather than keep experimenting with hold-up tactics, as he's quite keen. But if they do, I think he'll run a huge race.
Third Time Lucky for Kills. Who for Frank?
It's almost like an echo of Mr. Keeley's opinion there. I'm the exact same. I think Third Time Lucky has to run a huge race. He's only had the two runs at Newmark, and they've both been belters. His mark has fallen to 93. It's not like he's been completely regressive. There have been runs in there suggest he's still well handicapped. Like the run in March in Wolverhampton behind Big Country off 95, he's only beaten a length and a half. And at Lingfield in December, he was only beaten three lengths by Goring off 98. He's £5 lower here. And like he showed a bit at Newbury in the Spring Cup last time, he was sixth. Now beaten nine lengths, but at the same time, he showed a bit more. I think this track suits him perfectly, and I can see him running a huge race. I'll definitely be having a bet on him.
DJ, are you going to row in with the lads or swim against the tide?
Yeah, Third Time Lucky for Third Time Lucky it is, Bruce. I was fully expecting me to be the only one that was going to tip Third Time Lucky, and now I just feel like I'm just copying the lads. And as you know, Bruce, I
can't. Pretending again that you haven't read The Weekender, are you, DJ?
I haven't read The Weekender, no.
Well, you should do. That's part of your duties, DJ.
Sorry, Bruce. I could spend, as you know, Bruce, I could spend the next 10 minutes telling you why I fancy Third Time Lucky, but the lads have done it in a much more elegant way than me, so I'm just going to tip Third Time Lucky.
Okay, excellent. Three votes for Third Time Lucky. What price is he?
10-1.
10-1. That can't be bad, can it? Excellent. Now then, 220, it's the Long Holes Palace House Stakes, a race won by a lot of really, really good sprinters down the air. This year's field isn't great, is it? It's really, really weak heat in terms of quality, but it's competitive and interesting. And if you back the winner, you get paid out at exactly the same price. So what's the latest betting, Frank?
Yeah, Havana Grays 2-1, Alpha Delfini 7-2, Mabs Cross 5-1, Ornate 8-1, Judicial Jamira Bridge are 10-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
And it's your go to go first, Frank.
Yeah, I'm actually really keen on one here. Like, while Havana Grey on ratings would look to hold outstanding claims, obviously getting the three-year-old announced, it can be tough enough for three-year-olds when they go sprinting an open company. And I went back and did a little bit of digging, and while we had consecutive three-year-old winners in 2008 and 2009 with Captain Jordan and More Prop, we've had eight horses tried since, I think. Nine, sorry. One was third and all the rest were unplaced, so it's not easy for them. and I'm going to go with a horse called Ornate, who has quite a good record in Newmarket. He switched yards from Robert Cowell to David Griffiths, and he's had a wind up since last seen. But if you go back to his reappearance last season, he ran over six in the Abernathy Stakes, and Brando only picked him up in the last 7,500 yards, and he went out in front that day, and he's come back and he's won the July course very easily over five. I think five is more his trip than six. And he ran respectably as well in a listed race over six behind Gifted Master, beating two lengths in August. I think the wind up and the drying ground will suit, and I think he might get to the front. I think he might be very hard to pass. I think 8-1's a crack in each way, Matt.
Good. Frankie's going for Ornate. Who are you going for, DJ?
Oh, I fancy Ornate as well, Bruce. I'm sick you didn't come to me first. Yeah, like there's 11-1 elsewhere. I think that's huge. The thing about this race is it's funny. Like Havana Grey, there's very very little Newmarket form to go on, and especially for a 5 furlong sprint in Newmarket, it's a tricky enough track for sprinters. And Ornate, I think, as Frank said, has had a wind up, wears a hood, goes so well fresh. Like 202 days it was off before it was just beaten by Brando. The time before it made a perfect, in 2016, made a perfectly respectable reappearance behind Eastern Angel. And as Frank said, the stats suggest that the 3-year-olds are certainly worth taking on. David Allen is a jockey riding at the peak of his powers at the moment, and yeah, I thought 11-1 was a huge price about Ornate.
Okay, so everyone has gone for third time lucky in the 150. Two of the lads have gone for Ornate in the 220. Do we have three votes for Ornate, Kills?
Well, I've toying with the idea of thinking Havana Grey is a good thing, but I have backed Ornate.
Brilliant.
That is the one. Jeez. I backed it. I backed him earlier in the week. Like the lad said, he does go really well fresh. He made Brando pull out all the stops over 6 furlong last year. He was 6 in this race last year, but it was a much better race than this one. And the thing I say about Havana Grey is, you know, 3-year-olds might not have the greatest records. They haven't, you know, won since 2008, 2009. None of them have been as highly as rated as Havana Grey is. Even the two winners are more prop. And the other one, whose name I can't remember now. He's £8 clear on official ratings as well. So, I mean, he's got a massive favourites chance. He's very solid, but Ornate each way for me. I think he's absolutely sure to run his race. He tends to do it first time out, and he seems to like both Newmarket tracks.
Fantastic, excellent. I think there'll be a lot of listeners and viewers having an each way double on third time lucky in Ornate on the back of that. 255 is the Dunedin Jockey Club Stakes. It's a Group 2, and we've got a very hot favourite, Frank, haven't we?
Yeah, Defoe's 4-9, Count Octave 5-1, Khalidi 15-2, Red Vern 11-1, and Master of the World 14-1.
DJ, I'm going to come to you first for the exciting race. Who do you fancy?
I fancy Defoe, Bruce.
Okay.
It's hard to believe he wasn't even entered for this race. They had to supplement him. How bad of a race would it be if Defoe wasn't supplemented? It would obviously be a little bit more open, but this is a hell of a good horse. This is a proper, proper Group 1 horse running a bad Group 2. He looks a good thing.
You said he was a good thing last time out, didn't you? And he was overpriced and he absolutely whizzed up there, didn't he? So well done
for that,
DJ. You're sticking the faith there. Kills, can you see beyond the Joel?
No, not really. I mean, I took him on last time. I thought he wouldn't be quite ready. And I thought at one point that he might have been in trouble. But then he came back on a bridle and he won easily. I did quite like the runner-up. It was giving him £3. But he's not running anyway. So, you know, I just think he'll win.
Okay, and Frank?
You had to fall win.
All right, fair enough. This is great. Blimey, the unity of you guys. Anything else at Newmarket on Saturday for us, David Jennings?
Yeah, have a few, Bruce. Let me just get it now. I'll try and be as quick as I can. In the 4:45 race, I was really, really, really impressed with Key Victory, who won at the track last October. I just thought it beat Kazar. Kazar has since come out and I think Kazar might have won twice this season already, but Kazar's, I think, is rated 98, and Key Victory made absolutely bits of him, so he did. And it was a real impressive performance, won by a length, but it was value for a lot more than the winning margin. Charlie Appleby was interviewed after the race, and I remember him saying, like, basically, I would have been absolutely devastated if this horse was beaten, that we're expecting a big run. I think he could be a very good horse. So Key Victory in the 4:45, and in the 5:20... surely be to God Sam Gold has to win this, because on a line through Merlin Magic he looks chucked in off 86 again, a Roger Varian horse in a handicap for the first time with a decent handicap mark. Sam Gold, I think, would be very hard to beat in the 5:20.
Frank, anything else at Newmarket without revealing your nap?
This is like Gold the way we're all just aligning. I agree with David on Sam Gold in the 520. Like, while Civilization probably is relatively fairly treated off 100, I think Sam Gold is definitely well treated off 86, so I'd be surprised if he's not rated far higher come the end of the season. And as David said already, like, the line with Merlin Magic, who absolutely hacked up in that Easter Cup, suggests he's very well treated. I'm going to go against David in the 445, though. While Key Victory is very impressive, beating Kayser, who's actually won three times since, the one worry would be stepping up to 10 furlongs. I'm breeding, and I've heard a few things that they think he might just be more of a miler. He might just be worth taking on. Now, the more sun we get and the higher temperatures and the more the ground dries out, I think there's a good each way bet in here, and it's Linwood Gold for Mark Johnson. He won the race last year with the Dante winner Permian. Now, this horse made a very good a debut at Epsom. He won by 4 or 5 lengths very easily, and the ground that day was good to firm in places. He was subsequently beaten 3 times, but every time there was a fair bit of dig on the ground. And then he made his handicap debut here at Newmarket, and he absolutely bolted up off a mark of 85. But again, the ground was on the faster side of good. Now, at the moment, it's good ground, but it's sunny and 20 degrees plus, so you're hoping it might just get to sight to the better side of good come 4:45 tomorrow. If it does, I think he has a crack in each way chance as long as the eights stand their ground. And then one more, just in the 4:10, a horse of Clive Cox. I'm not sure what price it'll be. I'm hoping with the Haggis horse and the Appleby horse in there, we might get an each-way price bet. But Chagatai was absolutely punted off the boards on debut as a 2-year-old at Bath. Now, Clive Cox sends most of his good 2-year-olds to Bath, so I wouldn't let the fact that it ran there put you off. It was really badly hampered that day, but still managed to get out and get up and beat Last Page, who isn't too bad. He went to the National Stakes then, and he hung all over the place. He obviously had an issue because he didn't run again until just a few weeks ago at Kempton, where he won a novice race very easily. He's off 91 here, but I'd be surprised if this isn't at least 100 rated sprinter come the end of the year. I think he would probably be just about an each-way price, and I'll definitely be having a few quid in him.
Yeah, I remember that Bath pump. They absolutely smashed into smithereens, didn't they? Okay, Kills, what do you like at Newmarket?
Yeah, I got one in each as well. The 410, I think the one at the bottom is very interesting. Wings of the Rock, trained by Scott Dixon last year, was massively highly tried after winning at Nottingham on a second start, running at Royal Ascot and in other group races, and didn't really show. But it's gone to Cole Burke now, and has finished a good second last time, only a 4-runner race. But she's running off 76. Cole Burke is no mug, and he's entered her in a Group 3 at Dakara next month. And if he thinks he's anywhere near up to pattern race standard, then a mark of 76 is just going to be miles too low. She was rated 86 in the middle of last summer, so she could just be thrown in. I go to the next race, the 4:45, and I was just really impressed with the way Highbrow won on his second start last year at Kempton. Just pulled really, really hard, but still pulled miles clear in the end. David Simcox, he's got all the right entries. I think he could be quite interesting. And then the last race, I'll take Symbolisation to beat Gold Sam Gold, whatever it's called. Is it called Sam Gold? Yeah,
Sam Gold.
Yeah, Symbolisation. That, you know, he was odds on to beat Purser last time, but it was, you know, and he got beat, but he was still a massive step up on his 2-year-old form. He's got entries in the Irish Guineas and the St James's Palace, which will have been a later closer. And, you know, if he's going to live up to anything like that, then, you know, a mark of 100 probably isn't the true measure of his ability.
Lovely stuff. Goodwood next.
Paddy's gearing up for the Guineas with this great horse racing offer. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if Aidan O'Brien trains the winner in the 2,000 and 1,000 Guineas at Newmarket this weekend. Max free bet £10, excludes shop bets. T's and C's apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, Newmarket is the main event on Saturday, obviously, but there's also decent stuff down at Goodwood. Two races live on ITV, starting with the 205, the Matchbook VIP British EBF Daisy Warwick Filly Stakes. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power, please? Frank Hickey.
Yeah, Maury is 2-1, Architecture 5-2, Titty McPhee 7-1, What a Home 15-2, Isabel de Urbina 10-1, along with Wing It, and Luer 14-1 over 20-1 bar.
And we'll stick with you, Frank.
Yeah, it's not a race I'm madly in love with, but there was some bigger prices out during the week. I priced this up on Monday, and I thought that Maury probably would be the one to beat. She's had a winged up since last year. Sir Michael Stout's had a few winners now in the last week too. He was slightly out of form, or that would have been the worry maybe last week, but I think he's had 3 or 4 winners in the last week or so. This horse won a listed race here over 10 furlongs last May. She was just touched off by Coronet in the Ribblesdale. Now, she disappointed at York and Newmarket subsequently, but she's had the wind up, and even just on breeding, like, she's Frankel out of midday. Like, you think there'd be more to come at four, being trained by Michael Stout. I think 2-1 is probably, it's probably short enough, but I think she'll win.
Okay. Cross, I must remember not to have my hands underneath the desk after what Maddie's granddad texted her about a recent podcast. I won't tell you what it was, but... Kiehl's, who wins the 2.05?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the case for Murray. I think she's probably the most likeliest winner. Architecture was disappointing most of the time last year. But I don't really, if you read between the lines, I think what a home is a fair each way bet. You know, on form, she can't really win, but it's a William Haggis likely race improver. A lot of these listed fillies race tend to go to these late matures that don't seem to have much chance on the book. She's only rated 87, Maury's rated 106. But as well as putting her in here, William Haggis has put her in the Group 2 middle at New York, which is under 2 weeks away. He's another one, doesn't waste his entries. By all accounts, they were delighted and when Connections decided to keep her in training. She's going to end up a black type filly, and I think she'll leave a form well behind.
David?
Their architecture is 5-2 with Paddy Power, but she is 9-2 with Ladbrokes, and I think that 9-2 with the rival firm is an astonishingly big price. Like, obviously things went completely wrong last season. She wasn't seen until September, but that run after such a long absence was an absolute cracker. It was in that, you know, it used to be the Ark Trial at Newbury. Desert Encounter won it. Second Step was second. Like, they're proper rated in the 110s. Really decent, solid Group 3 performers. Architecture, like, go back to her form. Second in the Irish Oaks, second in the Oaks behind Minding as well. Hugo Palmer's had 5 winners in the last 23 days. I think he's had 4 of his last 11 have won. The fact that Architecture is out so much earlier this season, I think, is a real, real bonus. And 9-2, as I said, looks a very big price.
Righty-ho, the 2.40 at Goodwood is the commission-free racing at Matchbet Handicap, and it's a wide-open heat, Frank.
Yeah, it's very much that 7-1 each of 4. Medaim, Right Action, Donica, and Torian Star. We're 8-1 Love Dreams. We're 10-1 Squats and the Warrior. We're 11-1 Gallipoli. 12-1 Graphite Storm and Masham Star, along with Make Music, and we're 16-1 Bar.
David Jennings, take it away.
Nothing really strongly here, Bruce. I just thought Make Music was a big enough price. Forget the run on Good Friday, as it's trapped out wide the whole way. I just think has been run on the all weather. And things haven't been going according to plan. You know, fancying a horse with form figures of 5-7-0 is not usually advised. But I just thought with Make Music, she was a mare that potentially could be well treated on some of her old form off 86. She's a double figure price. I just thought you can forget her last couple of runs. So she's a big price if you can forget them.
Paul Keighley.
Yeah, I got one here. I like this. Horse called Masham Star. Now, he went 20 times last year for Mark Johnson.
He's not called Masham Star.
He is called Masham.
He's not. He's called Masham Star.
No, it's Masham.
I got admonished by someone who...
Well, I don't care. Is Mash.
It's Masham Star.
No. You can't start throwing silent H's in the middle next to an H. No, not having that. It's Masham Star.
Okay.
Anyway, he went 20 times in 2017. Never rated lower than 97. Never rated higher than 101. Started this year on the all-weather with a mark of 103, ran third in the listed race to Second Thought, perfectly respectable. 2 below-par runs on soft ground since Musselburgh and Haydock. The Haydock run wasn't that bad, being 3-2 decent progressive horses, and he's dropped down to a mark of 91. Now, last year he ran at Goodwood twice. He was sixth of 17 in the Betfred Mile off a mark of 97 from stall 18. He was 5th of 19 to Johnny Barnes 3 weeks later off a mark of 100 from stall 10. So tomorrow he has stall 1. He's a prominent racer. He's got stacks of hold-up horses on the outside of him. The only ones likely to go forward are the stablemate Love Dreams and Make Music, who's drawn 12. I can't see him. I cannot see him finishing out of frame if he comes back to form.
Brilliant.
Fantastic price, double figures.
If you'd gone first, we would have gone to DJ and he would have gone, yeah, I fancy Masham Star as well. Nothing to add. Frank, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's a competitive handicap. It's wide open, it's betting suggests. I'm going to take a punt on one. A double figure price called Gallipoli. Now, there's a small worry about the ground. Hopefully it'll dry out a bit and it won't be, I think the soft... hopefully it'll be good to soft, good in places come race time tomorrow. But this Gallopoli, he ran okay as a three-year-old last year, or sorry, as a four-year-old last year. He won first time out at Leicester. He was second, just touched off at Doncaster, and his form sort of tailed off, but once in soft ground at Doncaster, and then a competitive handicap at York. But when he reappeared this season on the all-weather, that's what's really caught my eye. The first time at Newcastle, he looked all out the winner, but he was caught late by a horse of Andrew Boyne's called Straight Right. Now, if you haven't watched that race, it's worth going back, because that Straight Right is one to follow for the season based on that. He's on my shortlist for potentially even Royal Ascot for maybe a big handicap. It was just incredible how he picked him up. That Gallopoli looked all over the winner. He got £3, and then he went to the 7 furlong handicap and all weather finals day at Linkfield, and the jockey was a bit slow taking the blindfold off, and he lost 5 or 6 lengths at the start, and he was still only beaten a length. Suggests to me he's well handicapped. The ground is a small issue, but 11-1 and willing to take a chance on him. He's only got £1 for that Linkfield run. He could just have improved a fair bit over the winter, and I'm going to chance him each way.
Is Straight Right this season's equivalent of that horse that, who was the one who had herpes last year? Who was it?
Jesus, yeah, sure, I banged on about so much I shouldn't be forgetting. The Kevin Ryan horse.
Yeah.
It was the
Marlin. I'm pretty sure he might have won, if not the same race, but it was similar enough. Flaming Spear, that's the one.
That's it, Flaming Spear.
It's very similar style, the way he did it. He's definitely one to follow, that Straight Right. I don't know what they're aiming for with him, but I wouldn't be shocked with something like the Royal Hunt Cup.
I'll be putting him in my tracker forthwith. We've got loads of other meetings on Saturday, loads of which have got an X in their name. Uxeter, Wexford, Hexham. We've also got flat racing at Wetherby. We've got Cork. We've got Doncaster. Who's going to start the roundup? You can, Kills. How many are in it?
Yeah, I've only got a couple. I've got another one at Goodwood, 3:15, Pettock side, 9-year-old sprinter. He is the oldest in the field, but there aren't many that you would call unexposed improvers in here. And he might have been 8th to Bahamian Sunrise, who reopposes here last time at Epsom, but he spent the last furlong and a half on the bridle. He's won eight. He's won 8 times. 8 of his 9 turf wins have come with ground with a bit of ease in it. 4 of them at Goodwood. He just loves it here. He's been second 4 times as well from 13 starts. I think he'd come through under Holly Doyle, who's got a good record on him. He'll win. And at Doncaster, I think it's the opening race. Bit of a cliff horse of mine, but he's dropped right down the rate.
This is the 5:15, is it, Kills?
This is the 5:15, I believe. I'm just going to find it.
Sponsored George. By the Crown Bawtry. You've stayed there a few times, haven't
you? Yeah, lovely place. Yeah. George Bowen. Now, he went up. He absolutely bolted up. Off a mark of 86 last June, and he went up to 97. He's dropped all the way back down to 87 now. He ran a really eye-catching race last time out, went 4th over 5 furlong at Newmarket. Back up to 6 at Doncaster, has to go well.
Okay, David Jennings, brevity is the key here, please.
I'm absolutely dying to go to the toilet. Can you go to Frank first? I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Yeah, okay, Frank, just say you haven't got anything, all right?
I genuinely don't have anything.
Brilliant.
I hope he's not having a God. Donald Trump.
Oh no, this is terrible. What are we going to do? This is outrageous. He can't really be going to the toilet, can he?
He's gone now.
I'll tell you what, let's do the Kentucky Derby then, or the Kentucky Derby. Frank, have you got any betting on that?
We don't have betting on that, Bruce.
It's wide open though, isn't it? Do you think Mendelssohn will win?
No.
Don't you?
I don't.
Who do you think will win?
I'm going to thank my... excellent international colleagues, but they put me into Justify before he ran in the Santa Anita Derby, saying that he was a, as we call it, a machine. His work times were incredible. He went to Santa Anita, and Bolstoro had been the favourite or one of the joint favourites for the Derby over the winter, and he put him in his place handy enough. Look, it's a very competitive race. You have 20 running, but he's drawn very well in 7, which is kind of where you want to be, somewhere between kind of 6 and 11, 12. There's a couple of really strong pace setters inside him, so they should give him a good toe into the lead, toe into the race. He should be like 3rd or 4th, hopefully. And I've had a good bet on him, anti-post at a price, and I'm very hopeful for him. But I could just mention one in the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, sure.
This is a video worth watching. A horse called Midnight Bisou won earlier in that card in Santa Anita. She won the Santa Anita Oaks. But as I said, I'm not an expert in American racing at all, but when I saw it, I just thought, Jesus, that's like Zenyatta. It was incredible the way she won. Now, she was 1-2 on the night, and she was expected to win, but the manner in which she won marked her down is really good. She's joint favourite.
What's she called again?
Midnight Bisou.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, don't back it on just my word. Go look at the video. I think if you watch the video, you'll find it difficult not to back her, even at 5-2.
So the Kentucky Oaks is 11-12 tonight, as in Friday, and the Kentucky Derby is 11:50 on Saturday. Kills, have you got a clue about who's going to win the Kentucky Derby?
Filthy dirt, mate. I couldn't care less.
Really?
I really couldn't. Hate dirt racing. Just
do
don't
you?
Watch it.
Yeah. Why?
Don't know, I just don't like it. Don't like it. Think it's cruel to horses. They're all on drugs. Just doesn't interest me.
Okay. Racing. David, have you washed your hands?
I'm back, yeah. Yeah. Good, do you know mate? The funny thing there, right? I was trying to decide whether to sneak off and not say anything and see could I make it back in time. But quite ironically, the only person who could have helped me in that situation was me. If I'd have been the one talking, it would have went on for longer, and then I would have been able to go to the toilet. So, okay. I thought that was funny.
Anyway, well, I just found it thoroughly unprofessional. But anyway, well, who's in your roundup?
Yeah, I just have two, Bruce. I don't even know if Frank mentioned either of those, so it'll be interesting to see if he did. In the 350 at Goodwood, I am really sweet on Queen of Time for Henry Candy and Kieran Schumark. Nia Letty is going to make the market here because she's rated 104 and she's getting weight as a three-year-old. I could be wrong, but I think she's finished. I think she had a real tough juvenile campaign, and I think she'll do nothing this year. I think she'll make the market. Queen of Time is rated £12 inferior to her, but Queen of Time is a real improving filly, did well in handicaps last season. Her record at Goodwood is fantastic. She's 2 from 2 there, and her final start in a listed race at Sandown, she should have won. My God, James Doyle is a fantastic jockey, but I didn't think this was his finest hour. I thought she should have won that day against Tis But A Dream. She's rated 92. I think she'll prove a good bit better than that. I think she's a real improving four-year-old. So Queen of Time, who could be a price early on when betting comes out in the 350 of Goodwood. And the other one I like is at Cork in the, I'll get you the race now, in the 450 at Cork, So You Thought, trained by Dermot Weld, was dropped to 7 furlongs last time at Leopardstown. Just turned into too much of a speed test. Once further, back over a mile this time. Sean Davis is a good young jockey who is claiming, and I still think So You Thought as well, handicapped. Been dropped down to 78 from 80, visor on, So You Thought, 450 at Cork.
Funny enough, Frank did give Queen of Time a mention. He said, whatever you do, don't back that. Have you got a view on the Kentucky Derby, David?
I don't. Like Frank, I'm not an expert on it at all, but the vibes coming from Ballydoyle are incredibly strong about Mendelssohn. Like, I don't know how good Justify is, I don't know how good the rest of them are, but the way they're talking about this Mendelssohn, I don't think they've seen a horse improve like it for a long, long time.
Okay, over to Steve Palmer.
This will not be beaten.
Paul Keighley, who is your nap?
Masham Star, 240 Goodwood.
Frank Hickey?
Newmark at 410, Chagatoy.
And David Jennings?
Queen of Time, 350 Goodwood.
Well done, lads. Let's look at Sunday next.
Paddy's gearing up for the guineas with this great horse racing offer. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if Aidan O'Brien trains the winner in the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas at Newmarket this weekend. Max free bet £10, excludes shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, it's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Paul Keighley and Paddy Powers. Frank Hickey looking ahead to some great racing on Sunday, some classic racing on Sunday. The 3:35 at Newmarket is the Kipco 1,000 guineas. As with the 2,000, there are 15 runners. And there's a 5-2 favourite, and it's trained by Aidan O'Brien. And its name is Frank?
Yeah, happily. Soliloquy is 11-2. I Can Fly, 15-2. Lawrence and Wild Illusion are both 9-1. Liquid Amber is 10-1. Dan's Dream, 12-1. And Anerium, 14-1. And we're 18s bar.
What's the strength of your fancy out of 10 kills for this race? Give me a number.
Probably no more than 2. I've got
2.
A couple. I've got a couple.
Well, Frank, what's yours? The strength of your fancy.
Yeah, probably a 2 or 3.
David, you must have the strongest view then. Go on, DJ. Away you go.
By a mile. This is the horse I'm most looking forward to all weekend at 8.
Go on then.
Oh, you want me to go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay, yeah. I tipped up I Can Fly in the Racing Post earlier this week at 7-1, thinking it was a huge price, and it's now 50-2 with Paddy Power. I think she is a gorgeous filly who, like Gustav Klimt, has that run under her belt. Ran in the 1,000 guineas trial at Leopardstown. It's a very, very similar profile to Winter, actually, who won the race last year. Not only did Winter run in the guineas trial at Leopardstown as well, but Winter also won her maiden at Dundalk. And a couple of things about I Can Fly. she was always held in really high regard in Ballydoyle, but I think she just took time to come to herself. That's why she wasn't out until September. I thought she was very impressive. She wasn't hit at all when winning on her debut by 4 lengths at Dundalk. She came out next time and ran the Oh So Sharp at Newmarket. Gavotta was in that, Altanorda, Butterscotch. It was a really good group three. Again, she just was learning. She didn't really know what was supposed to happen. First time out in Leopardstown, in the Guineas trial, like Ryan Moore, like it was like as if it was his baby daughter. He was so kind on her. Didn't get her into a battle at all. She would have finished a lot closer than 2 lengths that day if he got stuck into her. There's only one day in mind for I Can Fly. I think it's the 1,000 Guineas. I think you'll see huge improvement. She's been to Newmarket. She'll handle the ground. And I think she is the one with the most scope for improvement. So I Can Fly for me.
Kills, you never get my music, horse name related music.
Oh, I don't know anything about music.
Come on, who had a hit with I Can Fly?
No idea.
No?
No.
Okay. R. Kelly?
Yeah, of course it was, yeah. Kills, who wins the Guineas?
Well, we know Appley probably got the best form because she beat the Colts in France last year, including Massot, who's only 5-1 for the 2,000. But I thought Soliloquy won really easily in the Nell Gwynn. Never got touched with the whip by William Buick and just controlled the race. And I think she has to go very close. She looks high class. But one I put up at a big price earlier in the week, and he was tumbled quite dramatically in the Betmans 33s on Monday. It was Liquid Amber, trained by Willie McCreary. Now, you know, if she'd won a Group 3 in the fashion that she did last year for a big stable, then she'd have been a much shorter price than 33s anyway, because she bolted up in the Group 3 Flame of Tara. She was put away after that. It is interesting. It's interesting the money for her because, you know, she did look really, really
That's
good.
That's just people following you.
No, it's not. No, it's not. She was still 20s after I tipped her, and she'd just come down and down and down. So I wouldn't worry about that. Now, the trainer has won Group 1s, has won the Group 1 Matron Stakes with Fisolano. A mare. In fact, 16 of his 18 listed or group race wins have come with fillies. So he's very, very good with them. And I just think he's come over it, and it's a very, very interesting horse.
Okay, Frank.
Yeah, that Liquid Amber, interesting enough, there's some whispers going around that it works with Mary Tudor that won a listed race recently. Was it Navan? And apparently it works all over it, so that could probably be the reason why it's shortened up so dramatically in the last few days. Now, it's a race where Happily will obviously shorten up quite considerably where Mats are to win the 2,000 Guineas. But I just got the feeling last year that there was a couple of times where Clemmie was entered to race against her, and Ryan Moore was always down to ride Clemmie. I just got the feeling that they felt Clemmie was a bit better than Happily last year, and potentially even for that reason then I'm kind of thinking she's short enough even at the 5-2. I'm going to take a punt on one at a bit of a price here, thinking that we might get an upset. And it was difficult not to be impressed by Ananirium when she won the free handicap. Now, when you look at her, you say, look, she's not as classy as a lot of these, and she still has plenty to find. But she won that race off 100 against some decent enough animals. Well, I wouldn't say they were brilliant, like the likes of Hay Jones, Enebo, Grey Perspector, Snazzy Jazzy. They're all relatively decent horses. And this horse, it nearly got mullered about a furlong and a half out, and you would have thought that's the race done. And Tom O'Cran just pulled her out after meeting interference, and she just flew home. 1 by 3 lengths. Unbelievably impressive. Now, she's gone up to a mark of 107, which says she still needs to probably find another £7 or £8 to be winning this. But I don't think it's impossible. And Richard Hannon, he seems to have changed his MO in that he used to like getting them all ready and fully fit first time out. And he seems to have kind of changed to, you know, leaving a bit to work on with a view to having them run well throughout the season. And if she improves again for that run at Newmarket, I think she could run into a place at the very least at a big enough price. I think we're 14s. There might even be 16s out there. So I'm going to have a few quid each way. And we're actually paying 4 places in this race as well, Bruce.
Good man. That's good to hear. There's 3 very competitive supporting races on the Newmarket Sunday card, starting with the 150. It's the Qatar Racing Handicap. What's the latest betting, Frank?
Yeah, Adamant is 7-2. The Grand Vizier, Celestial Spheres, Duke of Bronte, 8-1. Rashoon, 10-1. Oh, sorry, UAE Prince is 6-1. And Wolf Country, 12-1. And we're 16s back.
Have you sussed one for us here, Frank?
I'm going to have a few quid, I think, on Duke of Bronte. He was actually quite a good 3-year-old last year. I remember he won a maiden at Newbury at 100-1. Which kind of marked him down as a horse possibly to follow. He was fifth in the London Gold Cup at Newbury, which is traditionally a strong handicap, to 4-1. And he knocked it about. He won another handicap at Newbury and Ascot before finishing third at Newmarket in the Old Rowley Cup and second at Newbury to Tyne Study. Now, that was only a three-run race, but it was a mess. But when he came back at Chelmsford there about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was well punted. I think he was 16 or 20s overnight into 8-1. He got up and beat Aberreck a nose. That was over 10 furlongs. He definitely needs further. The fact he could win over 10 is actually testament to how good this horse potentially could be. He's got £6 for that, but he steps up to 1.5. The fact he's trained by Rod Milne, he could be underestimated. He might actually drift a small bit on the day. I'll have a few quid each way at him. Now, the favourite is obviously the right favourite. He was just didn't get up in time at Newbury, and obviously Ryan Moore rides, and he's only up £4 at Newbury run. But I think Duke of Bronte is a fair price at 8-1 each way.
God, I flew back from LA the other day, and I wouldn't have even been able to stand up the next day, let alone ride a horse. Ryan Moore must have
It's nearly midnight, though. Can you imagine he'd win with all the TV commitments and all that? He won't be getting to Newmarket, will he, if he wins? Like, you know, if he doesn't, he'd just be jumping straight on a plane. But, I would say if he wins, he won't be riding at Newmarket Sunday.
Okay, fair enough. Kiels, you love a bit of London handicap form, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, I'm just really struggling to get away from this favourite. Adamant, he just looked really, really good at Newbury. Again, just failing to get up. He's obviously had a million problems anyway. He's twice as a two-year-old in September and October, and only once as a three-year-old last year. But he's going to be miles better than the 90. He's going to absolutely relish a step up to a mile and a half. And, you know, I know it's a big field, but I think 7-2 is pretty fair.
Who's your selection, David Jennings?
I'm going to chance you a prince, Bruce. I think Roger Varian is a lot of kind of well-handicapped, disappointing horses from last season that could just blossom this year. UAE Prince was fourth in the John Smith's Cup off 97. Same mark here. Horses are running well. And I thought he had a pretty solid each way chance, UAE Prince.
I think I might have backed him for the Derby at some stage. Is that possible?
Yeah.
He ran in a maiden at Leicester or something, didn't he?
Okay, the 220 is the Charm Spirit Dahlia Stakes. It's a Group 2. What's the latest betting, please, Frank?
Yeah, Wahida's 4-6, Golden Legend 5-1, Elegant Poe 7-1, Tis But a Dream 9-1, and we're 16s bar.
David Jennings, away you go.
I'm just hoping the 8 runners will stay in this because I think Elegant Poe is a cracking each way bet. I actually did the Monday jury with Geraldine's the day Elegant Poe ran at Nace on her reappearance in March, and I said, you'll have a good day today, Ger. Elegant Poe's is odds on. He said, no, he says, I can't fancy her on that ground. I said, she'll come on a ton for the run. She wants better ground. Ger is no idiot. He wouldn't be sending her here for the Newmarket Air, as they say. And I think she's the type that could develop into a really nice four-year-old for Anna Moyne. I think the favourite will be hard to beat, so you'd have to back her each way or maybe without Wahida. But I do think Elegant Pose will certainly finish in the first three.
Kiels, who's your fancy?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like each way bets in bad each way races, but I'd like to have a feeling that they could win, and I can't see that with any of the others, really. Wu Hader's got an official rating of 117. The next best is 110. After that, it's 105. If she's in form, she wins. It's as simple as that. She's the best horse in the race, and I can't see her not winning.
Frank the Tank?
Yeah, amazingly, Wu Hader was put up by a couple of firms at odds against earlier in the week, which I thought was incredible. If you look at her, like, her form, she's like one pre-Marcel Boussac as a two-year-old, second in a Falmouth, not beaten far at Leopardstown in the grade one, beaten three quarters of Legend by Rhododendron in the Prix de l'Opera, and then winning over in the Breeders' Cup. Like, she's a different league to these. If there's a bit of a drift in her and you get 4-5 or 5-6 or something like that, yeah, get it all on.
Okay, the 255. 16 runners have been declared, so don't kid yourselves. One will come out. But it's a competitive handicap. 6 furlongs. It's the longholes.com handicap. And what's the latest betting, please?
Yeah, Mr. Lupton's 11-2. Alias 8-1 along with Ektiar and Eastern Impact and Scorching Heat. Victory Angels 10-1. Medicine Jack and Magical Memory are 12-1 and we're 14s bar.
Decent race, Kiels.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's fairly obvious that Mr. Lupton's been laid out for another crack at this race that he won last year, and he's so well handicapped that he's just got to go very, very close. 11-2, I'd have a chunky each way bet on him at that sort of price. He's he won the race last year. He was actually a bigger price in the morning. Went off at 10-1. Won it very, very easily off a mark of 107. Went up to 113. Only got beat 5.5 lengths by Harry Angel in the July Cup. But since then, he sort of lost the plot a bit, went off the boil, dropped down to a mark of 104, £3 lower. He's an early season horse. He scored on his third start as a two-year-old, then same again as a three-year-old. Last year, he scored on his second start. He's had one run this year, second in the Cambridge Trophy at Perfect Pasture.
Will it be a big old Jamie hold-up job?
Yeah, it'll be a Jamie hold-up job.
Do you worry about
him? No, he's the best at it when it works, and you can be pulling your hair out when it doesn't. But I mean, I think he's got a massive chance.
Who do you like, Frank?
I'm with Paul here, Mr. Lupton. He ran relatively eye-catchy at Doncaster at Lister race that Perfect Pasture won easily, but he wasn't given a hard time at all. You felt that it was just getting him cherry ripe for this day, and as Paul said already, he won this race easily enough off £3 higher last year. He's still only a five-year-old. Yeah, there's an awful lot to like. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't hit the frame at the very least.
David Jennings?
I'd be very tempted to change my mind and just agree with the lads, but as I've done on a few occasions. But I fancy Victory Angel again. I think me and Roger Varian are going to go down together. I think Victory Angel won first time out last year after, I think, a decent break, hadn't ran since the previous November. It was quite impressive that they only off a mark of 81, but over this course and distance, I think fast ground, decent ground at least, because it's disappointed a couple of times on softer ground. Like, it's rated 99 now. I think it's verging on a group class sprinter, and I think Victory Angel has got a great chance.
Okay, two ITV races at Hamilton to look at now. It's a lovely track, apparently. Have you been to Hamilton Kills?
No, I haven't.
They say it's very nice indeed. Must get up there. Anyway, they've got their moment in the ITV spotlight on Sunday, and the first of their races is the 205. It's the totesport.com Tangerine Trees Condition Stakes. What's the latest market, Frank?
Yeah, Bengali Boys is 8-11, Lake Volta 130, Savalas 5-1, John Boy 11-1, or 20s bar.
And David Jennings, who wins?
Bengali Boys. I thought it should have won in the three appearance, and I think it'll win.
Okay, David Jennings, you've told us already, so don't do that again. Frank Hickey.
Yeah, I'd agree with Dave for that. Should have won at Newcastle the last day, and I think it should make amends here.
Tony Hamilton at Hamilton. Kills, who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, it's rated well clearly. Others and getting weight off a couple of them will also appreciate going back to 5 furlongs, I think. And yeah, it just has to win.
3 for Bengali Boys. 2.35. The totesport.com Buttonhook Handicap. Frank, take it away.
Yeah, we've joined favourites Starplex and Archipos are both 9-2. Donica's Girl, Kens and the Star, 15-2. Bear Valley, 8-1. And we're 9-1 bar.
And who wins, Frank?
I genuinely haven't a clue. Okay. I couldn't make head or tail of this race.
Excellent. David Jennings?
Not a monkey's, no. I didn't even bother giving it any more than 5 minutes.
Fair enough. Kills?
It's not very professional. Dave, that's two unprofessional ticks against your name. I did have a look at this. I thought Boulder Bob was reasonably eye-catching. It was only 9th of 16 at Thirst last time, but he's better than that. He was progressive last year. He went off at 8-11 when he won his second handicap in a row in September at Beverley, and he absolutely bolted up there. And although he was down the field next time at York, I think he's a horse that may well improve again this year, and he'll probably be a fair price.
Okay, we've also got a card at Dundalk, we've got Sligo, and we've got Toaster. So anything else grab you on Sunday, or indeed, in the case of DJ and Frank, there's some good group action at Nace on Monday. So anything else Sunday or Monday, David Jennings?
Yeah, in the 2.30 at Dundalk, Bruce, I like Lady Nathaniel, trained by Gerard Lyons. Of course, Colin Keane is on duty at Newmarket, so Gary Carroll comes in for the ride. Only rated 70. And I'd imagine there could be a good bit of improvement to come this season from Lady Nathaniel in handicap. So that's the only one for me, actually, Bruce.
Frank?
Yeah, the only one I'm interested in seeing is the 4.45 in Newmarket, the full sister to Soul Me Dar, La Tidar. She was extremely impressive in her winning her maiden at Newbury a couple of weeks ago. She won by 6 lengths. She's out here again. I think potentially she's an Oaks filly, and I'll be very interested to see how she gets on. She's running against a couple of decent Godolphin horses, and one of Carl Burke's and a Hannah one. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she gets on. I expect her to win, and she could develop into a lively contender for the Oaks.
Lovely. Anything else? We should be back in Sunday Kills.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just very interested in that Lottie Dar. She could well be vying for Oaks Posen. She's only 12-1 now, but she absolutely bolted up. She ran to a race post rating of 94. John Gosden's only had 7 fillies win first time out and run higher than 90. In the last 10 years, and 6 of those ended up winning group races, 2 of them group one winners. She looks very, very good. And in the last race, the 520, Dukan only just got chinned by Old Persian at the last meeting here. The pair pulled well, well clear. I'd imagine he'd be up the front of the market, but he'd take a fair bit of beating.
You confident you're going to win this weekend, Kills?
I'm never that confident these days, but I fancy loads this week, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
what are you
I'll
doing
be disappointed
this weekend?
If I do me brains tomorrow, put it that way. Tomorrow I am off.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to see my nephew and nieces in the morning, and then I'm going to punt all afternoon.
Are you a good uncle? Do they like you? Do you drop them a score each?
Me. I'm brilliant with kids.
Do you give them a few quid?
I don't give them any money.
You are good with kids, aren't you?
I'm good with kids, though.
Yeah, you are very good with kids. Excellent. So you're going to go on family day Saturday and what Sunday?
Saturday and, I don't know, drinking and football and racing Sunday.
Probably. Not family day Sunday.
Not family day.
Can't Frank, what are you up to, mate?
I have to work all weekend. I have a busy few weekends ahead of me, so I had to work this weekend. I had to offer to work the May bank holiday and the June bank holiday weekend to get the next 3 weekends off.
Oh, really? What, have you got weddings and the like?
Yeah, we've flying out to Spain Thursday morning for a wedding, back Saturday evening. And then the following weekend's my brother's stag. And then the following weekend after that, I've taken the weekend off to probably try to go to Liverpool for the Champions League final for a business session. Yeah,
oh,
I'm
good.
A Liverpool fan, so I did it in 2005, and it was probably the best night out I've ever had. So I'm trying to convince someone to go with me.
Oh, lovely. And how's Jill? Is she well?
She's very good, yeah. Flying.
Good, glad to hear. And DJ, what have you got on? Those wedding invites are taking their time to arrive, aren't they?
The list has almost been finalised yet. No, it's not till New Year's Day, Bruce. Take your time.
How many are on the list?
We have to get it from like 340 down to 226.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure I've ever met 226
somebody as annoying
people.
As me would be popular.
You're absolutely loved, DJ. What have you got on this weekend, mate?
Ah, it's a nightmare tomorrow, Bruce. I have a day off, and usually when you have a Saturday off, you're like, happy days, football, racing. But I have to go to my best mate's daughter's 2-year-old birthday party at 2 o'clock, and then it is my godson's birthday party, who's 7, at 4 o'clock. So it'll be a day of bounty castles for me.
Oh my goodness. And Sunday, hopefully do some work.
No, even worse than that, I have to work at Dundalk.
Oh, that's not bad. Come off it, David. Don't give us that. Most people would love your job, mate, even though they couldn't do it anywhere near as well as you. Thanks, chaps. Well done. Great to have the old gang back. Don't forget, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, please rate and review. On iTunes, we're back on Monday to look back on a great weekend. Look ahead to Chester. We've got Chester next week. That'll be great. We've got football next Thursday, and we will be back next Friday with another weekend podcast.
Paddy's gearing up for the Guineas with this great horse racing offer. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if Aidan O'Brien trains the winner in the 2,000 and 1,000 Guineas at Newmarket this weekend. Max free bet £10. Excludes shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.